In fact, you know that on Holy Thursday each year, we commemorate the Christ's institution of the Holy Eucharist at the Mass of the Last Supper, right? The tension and anxiety of that first Eucharist. Remember what happens during it. Jesus announces that one of his disciples will betray him. He prophesies that Peter will deny him three times. He speaks of his impending death. Not long, he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. That same night, his disciples couldn't stay awake with him. They ran away when he was seized. Of course, the trial, mock trial, really, was held. That followed, and then his death the next day on the cross. All of that carries into our commemoration of the institution of the Eucharist on Holy Thursday. It's hard, not as a priest too, it's hard to feel the joy of the Lord's gift to us in the sacrament of the Eucharist when its institution is overshadowed by his passion and death. Well, St. Juliana, a religious sister in Liège, Belgium, in the mid-13th century, felt the same way. And through some mystical experiences, she became convinced that Christ wanted the church to have a feast in honor of his true presence in the sacrament of the Eucharist. She told a small circle, she was the prioress of a prior, yes, religious sisters. And she knew some theologians in Belgium, and she had a small circle of those fellows gathered with her. And she explained to them these mystical experiences she had and what she thought the Lord was telling her to do, to promote a feast in honor of the sacrament of the Eucharist. Some of them agreed. They thought this makes sense, because it is hard to hold a Thursday. It was back then too, so it's hard to experience the joy of the Eucharist on that day. Eventually, the bishop also agreed, and he established Corpus Christi as a feast in his diocese. Well, eventually, one of those supportive theologians, and is this God's way of saying God won this, was elected Pope, Urban IV. And he established this feast, the Universal Church. By the early 14th century, the Feast of Corpus Christi, or Body of Christ, was universally observed in the Catholic Church. Having this feast really allows us to focus and the great gift of the Eucharist Christ has given us to perpetuate his memory, his saving work, and his abiding presence among us. Catholics have valued the Eucharist so highly because it's Christ himself in disguised form. As St. Paul says in that second reading, is not the cup of blessing we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread we break a sharing in the body of Christ? So a generation after Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul used very simple language to express Christians' conviction that the Lord made himself truly, and makes himself truly present in the Eucharist, mysteriously changing the deepest reality of bread and wine into his own body and blood. St. Thomas Aquinas, contemporary of St. Juliana, and who wrote the Latin texts of this feast, what you sang was from him. Okay? And a lot of the others, Tantum Ergo, others, they're from him. Thomas Aquinas. We're not talking about a minor league player here. This is the most valued player for centuries in the church. Tremendous intellect and a great poet. Latin is exquisite. So he wrote those texts, and he expressed that same faith of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, the true presence, for Catholics of his time, saying in the hymn Laudato Sion, what he did at supper seated, this English translation, right? What he did at supper seated, Christ ordained to be repeated, his memorial ne'er to cease. This, the truth each Christian learns, bread into his flesh he turns, to his precious blood, the wine. Skipping over a few centuries, the great composer Mozart composed a beautiful hymn of the Eucharist in the late 18th century, beginning with the words, Ave, Verum Corpus, Hail, True Body, Body of Christ, Eucharistic hymn. Huh? And we, don't we sing in our churches often, one bread, one body, one Lord of all? Jesus' own words, very dramatic, express best what the Eucharist is. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood, real drink. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors, who ate and died nonetheless, those who received the manna that God provided them. We heard of that in the first reading. The one who feeds on this bread will live forever. One of the greatest joys, surely, of the Eucharist is that our manna, as we make our pilgrim way to the promised land, brings us to that promised land of heaven. We're not meant for this life alone. We're meant to live with God forever. The Lord feeds us so that we may gain strength for the journey. So skipping Mass, I'm going to bog it. This not a good long-term plan for salvation. The Lord who feeds us with the Eucharist will return in glory to raise us from the dead and take us with him to our heavenly homeland. So the Eucharist propels us forward on our pilgrim journey towards that promised land of heaven. Now Christ remains present in the Eucharist until he is consumed. That means we can reserve the Eucharist and tabernacles to bring to the sick. Right there, right? It also means that we can spend time in adoration of Christ in the Eucharist, whether exposed, as we often do today, or not. One of the happy customs that developed from this feast is that of Eucharistic processions through the streets of towns and cities by which Catholics showed their collective belief in Christ's true presence. It's a public manifestation of that faith. In my second to last parish, we would have Mass in a neighboring parish, take a bus up, and then process the streets of Northwest Washington with the Eucharist under police protection, didn't even for safety, other than cars. We saw neighbors who see us kneeling and blessing themselves as we moved along. Then we ended with benediction of Blessed Sacrament on the front porch of our church, a great fiesta in the basement. It was a wonderful day. I'm delighted that we shall have a Eucharistic procession at the end of this Mass. Along with strengthening each of us to follow Christ, the celebration of the Eucharist in each Mass signifies the unity of the Church in its faith in Christ's promise to be with us always until the very end. And it also builds up the whole body of the Church in faith and love. As the Second Vatican Council said, the Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life. Everything tending toward it, and everything flowing from it, because it is Christ in person who calls us as we are, sinners and fools and whatever that we are at that time, and builds us up into what we can become. A man in my first parish, not Catholic, but married to a Catholic woman, came up to one Easter. He'd often come to church with the family. He came up one Easter to receive Holy Communion. As he had never done that before, I was really surprised that I almost automatically just gave him communion. But I resolved I would speak to him afterwards. I said, do you believe it is the true body of Christ? Yes, he said. I've been praying and searching the scriptures. I've come to believe that it truly is the Lord. I just felt a real need today to receive him. So I came up. I said, would you like to receive him every Sunday? He said, that would be wonderful. Now I said, your church, belonging to another Christian church, doesn't believe the Eucharist is Christ's true body and blood. But we Catholics do. Would you be interested in becoming a Catholic? He smiled and said, you know, that makes a lot of sense. He did become a Catholic, and a faithful one. Love for the Eucharist had brought a man into our church and built up its unity. There's no limit to the power of Christ in the Eucharist to lift us beyond our pedestrian concerns. I tell you, Father Prophet, that last night I was at a Mass, went nearly 3 hours at the Cathedral of Mary, our Queen of Baltimore. It was celebrated for Hispanic Catholics in prayer group, charismatic prayer groups around the Archdiocese, the 50th anniversary of the beginning of charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. Okay? That renewal began with some University of Duquesne, that's in Pittsburgh, some students and a few professors who were on retreat. And the Saturday night of the retreat, they were in the chapel praying, in fact, prostrate on the floor before the Lord of the Tabernacle, the Eucharistic Lord. And at that time, they received gifts of the Holy Spirit, starting a movement that has spread to millions of Catholics in most countries of the world. I've also noticed, as a vocation director for a number of years, I've noticed that in parishes that have Eucharistic adoration, especially in a regular way, there are more vocations to the priesthood, the diaconate, the consecrated life, and I suspect to Christian marriage. I met a professor at Penn State some years ago. He came from the old Czechoslovakia. And under the communist regime, he was put in prison, basically for being a faithful Catholic. He told me that he and other Catholic prisoners would sit, and this prison was for more intellectual opponents of the regime. Right? So they would treat a little more lightly than the hard criminals, right? They had a recreation period, and he and another Catholic prisoner would sit at a table in the recreation room with a priest who was also imprisoned, imagine why, and under the guise of playing cards, the priest would celebrate Mass with a thimble or a chalice, a little bit of wine provided by a sympathetic guard, and crumbs of bread saved from meals. Receiving Christ in Holy Communion, he said, gave them strength to endure their hard and unjust imprisonment. The Eucharist, my friends, is Christ's gift to us. Being reconciled with him if we've committed grave sins, and receiving him with faith, we have a power to follow the Lord in daily life with its mixture of joys and sorrows. Spending time with him in adoration, we grow to love him more and more. Carrying him in procession through our neighborhoods, we show the world that we believe Christ is truly with us in this amazing way. So thank you, St. Juliana, persevering despite some opposition in promoting this feast. Thank you, Church, for listening to this wise and inspired woman. And praise be to you, Lord Jesus, Son of God, who humbled yourself in your incarnation, suffered on the cross, and now give us sacramentally a share in your resurrected life. May the Eucharist sustain us all until that day when all sacraments will become obsolete as we see our Lord face to face in the glory of eternal life. Amen.